This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an incredible Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, if I say so myself. We'll talk about invading northern Mexico. Do these commies know they're commies, the American types? Are chicken wings any good? All that and maybe just some more fun with the Google stuff and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, to finish my thought, the guy had emailed in, do you think we could just invade northern Mexico and wipe out the cartels? Now, I gave you a bunch of background on that. If you're just now joining us, you're going to have to go download the podcast if you want the background on Mexico, the cartels, how they came to be. There are things that sound great on the campaign trail, but they are not that great in practice. It is a very, very, very difficult thing to walk into any area, forget cartel, whatever, to walk into any area, take their current form of government, remove it, and replace it with a form of government you want. Regime change is how it's oftentimes described. Chris said Afghanistan, but really, pick your poison. Pick your one. It's very, very difficult. And people fall in love with the idea of it because almost universally, you're removing somebody or something that's bad. So Afghanistan, for example, Chris brought it up, so we'll go there. We said we were going to get bin Laden. Let's set that aside. Eventually, we switched the mission to, well, we have to remove the Taliban. Okay. Well, it's easy to convince people to hate the Taliban. The Taliban are freaking wretched. They're barbarians. They don't even let little girls go to school. It's awful. They're horrible. So you get people all lathered up and rallied for a cause. Look how bad these guys are. Yeah, we should remove them. Yeah. And then we'll just replace them. But people are so used to going along with it, they're like, yeah, but replace them with who or whom, if you will. And how are you going to do that? Look what's happening in Syria as we speak right now. Assad, that dirtball and his father were butchers of people. Yeah, it's easy to get the people all lathered up and to convince them that this butcher needs to go. And maybe he does. But replacing him is infinitely more difficult. Now, there's a lot of talk. People love, because we talk about fentanyl and we're worried about the drugs and rapists and murders coming across the border. And we understand the cartels facilitate a lot of that. And I got all that. I think I'm one of the only people in the country, at least on our side, who is dead set against going into Mexico. You know, when we talk about taking out the cartels, people have these visions of dropping Delta Force from up in the clouds into the one cartel compound like you see in the movies, and they'll slip through the gates with their NVGs on and beep, 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 take out 30, 40 cartel guys, and boom, cartel's gone. But that is not how it works at all. The cartel is the government. The cartel makes the roads, paves the roads. The cartel builds the schools. The cartel pays for the weddings. And this is not me praising them. In areas in Mexico, they are the government. I told you this story. One of my Mexican buddies, his family, they were down there visiting other family in Mexico, and they were driving. And they were driving across one of the areas held by the cartels. That's where their family lived. And they were stopped. Cartel guys, machine guns, the works, scary looking. Who are you? Why are you here? They said, we are this, this, and this. Show me ID. Again, just like the cops would. They show them ID. Who are you here to see? Who are you here to visit? Oh, I'm here to visit my aunt, my uncle. Stay right there. We have to verify this. sit right there on the side of the road, peeing your pants. The cartel guys did exactly what they said they were going to do. Went, got on the phone, got on the radio. Hey, these people say they're here. Do these people live here? Who are they here to see? Verified everything. Cartel guys walked right back to the car. Here's your ID back. Not only can you go, you are officially protected while you were in our area. Have a nice drive. Go see your family. I'm not acting like these are warm, cuddly people. I'm really not, but they are the government of the area. So if you say you want to go in and just take out the cartels, what are you replacing it with? And how are you planning on doing that in a country that has been ruled by feudal lords since the Spanish were ruling the place? They have new feudal lords now. How are you going to replace that? This goes back to, well, Chris brought it up. Chris is just saying the same thing, something I've talked about a lot on this show. We Americans, because we have a Christian founding, it was Christians that founded the country. We have a real inclination towards Christianity, which obviously I like. It's a good thing. There is also something with that where we have always struggled with the idea of conquest and ruling people. The Indians, the American Indian tribes, are famously used now by the dirty commies. We genocided them, but Americans were struggling with what to do with the Indians from the moment we encountered them. It was never straightforward. It was never universal. It was always, what should we do? Should we leave them alone? But we can't leave them alone. We kind of have to take this, but we don't want to take it. We don't want to be mean, but we can't let them do. I'm not really comfortable. You go back and read anything on it. There were always arguments. What do we do here? I'm not sure. I'm not comfortable. I shouldn't. We can't. And so when it comes to things like conquest, Americans are famously squeamish for really the reason I just laid out. I'm actually doing some reading right now when we were dealing with this problem. I'll get into the details another time. And we were obsessed with this term, benevolent assimilation. What a term, right? Assimilation is you're taking people who are not part of your culture and you're essentially pretty much forcing them to be part of your culture. You will learn my language, you'll learn my laws, you'll learn my customs. But of course, we didn't like that. So, hey, let's benevolent assimilation. That sounds so much better. We do things better here. If you want to take a place, take a place. Don't take it halfway. The dangers of half conquest. A closed door generally cannot hurt you. An open door cannot hurt you. You know what'll split your head open? That half-open door when you walk into the side of it. Half-conquest? We can argue all day long, you and me, and it's a fascinating debate when you get into it with friends. We can argue about the righteousness of full conquest, just taking a place. Hey, I like it here. I think I'll kill anyone who gets in my way and make it mine. We can argue about the morality of full conquest, but half conquest ain't no good thing. Yeah, Chris brought up Gaza. A very good point. The Israelis, they've been having trouble with Palestine since they moved into the place. Jews from around the world came to Israel to set up a place for themselves where they could feel safe, safe from persecution. And you know what Jews from around the world did in that area? They conquered it. They had previously been there. They got scattered to the winds by the Romans, so they weren't there anymore. And they came back in using a variety of tactics, some violent, some not, but they conquered it. They conquered an area, but they didn't conquer the whole thing. They conquered an area, but then, Palestine, I guess, look, they can stay. All right, we'll let them stay. How has that worked out, both for Israel and the people of Palestine? Are the people in Palestine under Hamas's rule, are they better off because of the half conquest? No, they're not. And the poor people in Israel, you can't go to a freaking music concert in southern Israel without 1,000 barbarians falling from the clouds to butcher and rape your women. How did half conquest help? America, American Indians. Have you ever been to an Indian reservation? They're wretched. Freaking horrible. Are the Indians better off being stuck? They're hubs of trafficking, human trafficking, drug trafficking, alcoholism, poverty. They're so freaking sad, the conditions those people live in on reservations right here in America. Did we do the right thing with that half conquest? Well, we're going to take your lands, and we're taking this, but we'll give you this little spot. Here's a big spot in Oklahoma. I'm sure it'll be nice. Yeah, it ain't that nice when you live there. Trust me. I know all about them. Ain't that nice? Speaking of October 7th, because of their proximity to people who hate them, people in Israel are freaking still dying, and butchered all the time, rockets coming down. You can't stand on a bus stop street corner without some terrorist pulling out a knife and stabbing you to death. And the IFCJ, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, has spent over 40 years helping people on the ground, trying to provide as much security as they can. Sometimes it's just as simple as a flak jacket. It'll save your life, I'll tell you that much. Having a flak jacket in your home is not something you want to think about needing, but in certain parts of the world you do. Emergency food, a place to stay, an armored ambulance in case some terrorist tries to shoot it up while you're on your way to the hospital. The IFCJ is the one over there providing those things. Go to supportifcj.org or call 888-488-IFCJ. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, an amazing Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, because there are many. And remember, you can also leave them by voicemail.
Jesse, about an ambush, how do the enemy know where you're going to be in order to perform an ambush? That's the thing that's got me puzzled.
Okay. How do the enemy know where you're going to be so you can perform an ambush? All right. Now, have you ever seen, Istanbul? I'm not talking about personally. I've only been through the airport, so I'm not acting like I've spent any time there. But you know where Istanbul is, right? If you don't, but please look it up right now. It's right there. As long as you're not driving, look up Istanbul. All right, this will come back to ambushes. Trust me on this. Istanbul, Turkey. Wow. Look at that. Look at where it is if you zoom in just a little bit. Wow. That sure seems like that's probably a pretty advantageous location, isn't it? It connects the Black Sea with the Mediterranean. Look at that Black Sea. You see the Black Sea? You have all these countries, Black Sea. You've got Ukraine, Russia, all these places. There are all these Black Sea countries. And then the only way by boat down into the Mediterranean is right through that little narrow waterway that Istanbul sits on. Now, Istanbul wasn't always there. Before that, it was Constantinople. Why is there always a major city right there? Because the location of it, because of the harbor and everything else, the location of where it is so advantageous that if you could, this is not what we want, but if you could wipe out every single human being on the planet, but you save 500 people, hopefully that's where I am, but you wipe out every single person on the planet and you save 500 people, and you wiped out all the cities, all the buildings, and any remnants of them. So the world is just wild again. Just snap your fingers. There's only 500 people left, and everything else is gone. God breaks his promise, which I know you won't do, Lord, and he floods the whole freaking place again. Wipes it all out, and everything's gone. And now you're starting all over again, 500 people right here in Texas on the planet. Do you know that if you came back 100 or 200 years later, cross my heart and hope to die, there would be a city right where Istanbul stands today and right where Constantinople stood before it and right where other people have been before it. Why? Because it's so advantageous strategically Someone's going to put a city there. It doesn't take a genius. You have the Black Sea, you have the Mediterranean. This is an important location. When it comes to ambushing somebody, in the movies, you're watching a movie about Vietnam, let's say. Let's say you're watching Platoon, one of the great Vietnam movies. You're watching Platoon, and they're getting ready to ambush. I remember this scene. Charlie Sheen's in there. All these guys are in there. Tom Berenger. They're getting ready to ambush some Vietnamese in the middle of the night. But in the movies, all you're seeing is jungles and moonlights and starlights, and it doesn't. How did they ever know somebody was coming? Well, you can look at a piece of terrain, and you can know if someone is going to walk through here, they're going to walk through here specifically for a variety of reasons. Maybe there's a river on this side, a cliff on that side. Maybe it's a natural draw. They know how to set up ambushes for the same reason they knew how to set up, or and still know, booby traps in certain places. How do all these guys end up stepping on landmines or stepping into booby traps of some kind? Because they're walking along natural footpaths that make sense with the terrain. So you know, eventually, someone is going to come walking down this footpath because it just makes sense. Does that make sense? I hope that explained it. It's not that much of a mystery. If I have a, I'll use this example. If I have a hilltop fort, I found a hill, I have a fort. I am going to, if I am a military commander at all worth my salt, this is just the most basic thing in the world, I am going to step away from that fort and I am going to look at it from an enemy's perspective. And I'm going to figure out from an enemy's perspective, wow, here I am. I'm down on the bottom. There is a fort I want to take on top of the hill. How should I get up there? What's the best way for me to get up there? Ooh, right around this side, it looks like the fort doesn't have the best view of this side. And there's this kind of natural little draw where we can walk up this side. And if you're a commander worth your salt, that's where you're going to put some defenses. That's where you're going to put some alarms because you've already studied it. In World War II, any of these island hopping things the Marines and the Army did against the Japanese. In some of these places, how did the Japanese, islands are big, you only have so many machine guns, how did the Japanese, how did they know where the Americans would land? Because there's only so many places you can land on an island. There's cliffs over here, we can't get through here. We know the Americans are clearly going to land here, so this is where we'll put up our machine gun nest. That explain it? Chris, did that explain it? I knew it would. What, Chris? I was asking. I knew I'd nail it. Now, I know you're not confused, Chris. Quit telling lies now. You know what? I'm confused why everyone doesn't own a four-week emergency food kit already. That confuses me. How much more chaos do we need to see out there? Do you need one of these Iranian drones to take out a power grid? No, I hope they're not Iranian, and I hope they're not going to do that, but everyone needs emergency food. That's basic. Walk into your pantry and really take an honest assessment of your pantry. How long can the people in your home live off the non-perishable food you have in your pantry? It's not as long as you think. When I first did this a while ago, I was frankly mortified. I thought to myself, I'm sure we'll be fine. I think it was like 3 days and we were going to be toast. My Patriot Supply has four-week emergency food kits prepped and ready to go, and they're $50 off right now. Kind of thing that can save your life one day. And I hope you never use it. Isn't that weird to say? I hope it goes to total waste. But you think over the next 25 years you might have to use it? PrepareWithJesseKelly.com is where you go. That's where you find $50 discounts on these things. PrepareWithJesseKelly.com. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, you could email the show jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I have some bad news and I have some worse news. The bad news is The Biden administration is so insanely corrupt. America's communists are so dedicated to keeping the border open that they're currently taking the materials Trump would use for the border wall and they're auctioning the materials off for virtually nothing, trying to make it as difficult as humanly possible to secure the border. That's how anti-American and evil these people are. That's the bad news. The worst news is Jewish producer Chris is currently on the auction site thinking about purchasing some because the prices are so low. I'm not even kidding. I wish I was making this up. Chris, just turn off the website. You're not buying anything. I understand it's a great savings. I get it. Please, no more. No more. Dear Thursday Oracle, does Elizabeth Warren actually know she's a communist? Yeah, yes, Elizabeth Warren does. A lot of Americans, many Americans, most American Democrats do not. That Democrat family member you have, they really genuinely think they're just, I'm just a liberal. Oh, I'm kind of on the left. I'm a liberal. I'm a progressive. They love saying these things because it soothes their conscience. They understand they're communist adjacent. They get that. But I'm not one of those. I'm not like one of these Soviet Union style communists. No. Oh, what's that? You don't have your vaccine? Oh, I think you should be fired. Oh, your child doesn't have a vaccine? I think you should be arrested and put into a camp. But no, I'm not a communist. No, I'm not a Soviet style communist. Oh, yeah. Hey, Jesse, are chicken wings worth the hype? I say no. Chicken wings are probably the superior way to eat chicken. I had some chicken wings today. And chicken wings are slave food. This goes back to slavery. We would, here in America, I promise I wasn't participating, but they obviously weren't going to give the black slaves, they weren't going to give them the choice pieces of anything. They wanted them to eat, but you weren't going to get the choice pieces of stuff. So if you killed a chicken, you're going to take the breasts and the thighs and the more meaty things, and you're going to take that in for yourself. And what do? You leave the wings on there. You chuck that to your slaves. And now they've got to figure out a way to make it more edible. Cornbread is a great example of this as well. You know, cornbread slave food? You don't want to give the actual corn to slaves. That's good stuff. The owners would want it. But you grind it up into cornmeal. Toss it to the slaves. Hey, here's some cornmeal. Figure out what to do with it. And it's fantastic. Absolutely delicious. So from an ugly history can come something beautiful, like chicken wings. I had some garlic butter chicken wings today. Garlic butter. Gosh, they were dynamite. And I stopped at this place. I'm angry at myself because to this day, I cannot remember the name of it. And I always remember the name of it. But we were right outside. We weren't in Knoxville, Tennessee. So we were outside of it. I want to say by some mileage, 10 miles, 15 miles. And there was this barbecue place that was clearly a huge hit. Remember, when it comes to restaurants, lines don't lie and full parking lots don't lie. If there's a bunch of cars there, if there's a line there, that's where you need to go eat. And we went into this barbecue place and they had smoked and then baked and then fried the wings. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Chris, they were so good. And they had their homemade ranch and homemade blue cheese, all their homemade dressings. Oh, my gosh, I'm starving now. Jesse, thanks for an awesome radio show. It means more than you know. Merry Christmas to you and your family and to Corey and Chris. His name is Mike. Merry Christmas to you, too. Hey, Jesse, as a pastor, I wanted you to know that God loves you despite your freakishly small hands and habit of eating crayons. Next month, I'll be speaking at a conference for Christian men. I've been asked to talk about how churches can make themselves more of a place men want to attend. I have some ideas, but I was curious what you would say since you're always railing on wimpy pastors, and rightly so. I already tell every guy I meet that if he's looking to meet a dime, go to church. But I'm sure there are other things that can be done. What say you? God bless. He says his name is Mark. He also asked for the Frito Bandito for the wife and kids, Alyssa, Lydia, Eli, and Maya. Yeah, I think we could do that. Aye, 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 aye.
I am the Frito Bandito. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
What can churches do to attract more men? Look, I don't know. You don't want me to be your pastor, and I'm certainly nobody who needs to be forming churches. I'm the least qualified person in the world there. But I will say, what part of what has pushed some men, not all men, but part of what has pushed some men away from the church is the James Lankford-style flat-in-the-front Christianity. That is a turnoff for men, a huge, huge turnoff. And why do you have that kind of effeminate Nancy Christianity? Because they were trying to make the church as nice and welcoming as possible to everybody when that is not the church's job. The church's job is to present the word of God. That is the church's job. It doesn't need an editor. It doesn't need your help. And if churches would speak vocally about all the parts of the Bible and give lessons. Look, let me ask you this. If you go to church, when's the last time your church did an ongoing sermon series? You know how there's always a sermon series of some kind? When is the last time your church did a sermon series on Samson? Samson used to beat Philistines to death with donkey bones. When's the last time your church did a series on Samson? Or King David? Or, look, pick your lion. Have they ever? Virtually every church series, I can remember it for most of my adult life, is some New Testament church series. And obviously, New Testament's great. Sorry, Chris. Obviously, New Testament's great, and we want to hear from Jesus and things like that, but there's an entire Bible, and God wrote all of it. Do you talk about all of it? When is the last time? Bible's very, very clear about wives being submissive to their husbands. Husbands are supposed to love their wives the way Jesus loved the church, and wives are supposed to be submissive to their husbands. Husbands are supposed to be the head of the household. How many times... Oh, that's a good point, Chris, and it's in the New Testament. How many times has your church spoken about that? And if they ever did speak about it, did they speak directly to the women? Or did they do, the last time, the only time I've heard one message about this in the last 10, 15 years, and the pastor, he practically broke his back and every ankle trying to dance around it. Well, I'm not saying that. I just want everyone to understand it. We love women. I'm not saying that. You can't. He did. He basically turned into a contortionist that you'd see in Las Vegas. One of these women that can fold herself in fours and slip through the eye of a needle. That's practically what the pastor did on stage to ensure that he didn't offend anybody in the crowd. You're never going to get guys like that, ever. Guys can see through it. It's a turnoff. And ladies can see through it. It's a turnoff. That seeker-sensitive crap, you can shove that stuff. I don't like it at all. Okay, who's the one we need to take out in a primary? Let's talk about that. Let's also talk about taking out the pain in your life. Do you have it? Everyone does. Eventually, you do. If you're young and you don't, eventually you do, because parts of your body break down before other parts. And so you're fine one day. The next day you wake up and your shoulder just nags at you all the friggin' time. And then soon you're not golfing anymore. Or you're not doing this anymore. You're not going for a run. You're not going on a hike. You don't want to go for a walk. You don't want to stop ignoring the pain in your life and stop taking things to mask it and start taking care of it. Getting rid of it. Relief Factor is here to take that pain away from you. That daily nagging pain in your back, in your knee, in your foot, in your bicep, in your... It's a drug-free supplement, 100% drug-free. Your body's already fighting the inflammation. It needs a boost. That's what Relief Factor is here to do. $19.95 allows you to try it for 3 weeks. That's a three-week quick start kit. What do you really have to lose? It doesn't work. Don't order anymore. You might be 3 weeks away from being pain-free. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. You're going to have to live without me, but I will be back on Monday. And do not forget, there is a history story coming next week. Probably won't be on Monday, but I will be giving you one. I already know what it's going to be on. I'm not telling you, but I will give you, I'll try to give you at least a day heads up so you can make some preparations as we sit down and buckle up and do a little history, which I always have a good time with, and which some of you enjoy and some hate, but I don't care. I love it, so I'm still doing it. Now, before I get back to the emails I haven't gotten to, I do want to touch on this. Remember, we talked a lot about the Democrat Party and the conflict that's going on internally, and it's very much an aged conflict. The older Democrats, the Nancy Pelosi-type Democrats, they have been around long enough to see what a winning, successful Democrat coalition is. It's a coalition that includes working people and things like that. And they've also been around long enough to see what losing that coalition looks like. A Democrat party that just wants to let every illegal in the country and wants to cut off the penis of every young boy is not going to have any kind of broad-based appeal. The Nancy Pelosi's of the world have always understood that. The AOC's of the world, they feel exactly the opposite. They think the Nancy Pelosi's of the world were too moderate, too nice. There's no that we haven't gone radical enough. And there is a rumor that's been floating out there today. AOC's getting ready to take over as the ranking member of a big shot committee, rules committee in the House. Nancy Pelosi, behind the scenes, is trying to subvert the effort, trying to stop her. Why? Well, you know how Elizabeth Warren is getting all kinds of crap for essentially saying, well, that dead CEO had it coming.
We'll say it over and over. Violence is never the answer. This guy gets a trial who's allegedly killed the CEO of United Health. But you can only push people so far. And then they start to take matters into their own hands.
Yeah.
This has been the crazy communist messaging since that CEO hit the sidewalk in New York. So over and over and over again.
So to be clear, you don't have any empathy for him after he was executed?
I personally don't.
Okay. Now, I'm not even going to talk about the morality of that. Do you know how that sounds to Norm and Norma? The voter, the swing voter they all lost to Trump. The swing voter Democrats have to get back. I'm not talking about you or me. I'm not talking about far lefties either. The Norm and Normas. You know how that sounds to them? You sound like a barbarian. You sound like an animal to them. AOC. I told you, I warned you years ago, she was heading for leadership. AOC, heading to leadership. This is how she talks.
This is not to say that an act of violence is justified, but I think for anyone who is confused or shocked or appalled, they need to understand that people interpret and feel and experience denied claims as an act of violence against them.
Like every other communist who ever lived. Look, I had no choice but to kill you or hurt you because I interpreted whatever you did as an act of violence against me. You know how that sounds to Norm and Norma? And the truth is that time is undefeated. Nancy Pelosi's going to be dead and farting dust, and AOC is still going to be in Congress in major positions of power. It's very difficult to see a route where the Democrat Party goes back towards the middle. I don't understand how that can come about. I can't foresee it. I'm sure eventually they'll figure it out, but I don't understand how they get there when all the more moderate types, or at least ones who know they need to sound more moderate, they're all old. They don't have a ton of time left. AOC is like 12. She's going to be there for a very, very long time. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? That's very uncomfortable. Like getting shot in the chest with a burn a pepper ball. All right, it's not quite that uncomfortable because that would just flat out incapacitate you. If someone took a burn a pistol launcher, remember these are non-lethal, and they shot you in the chest with one of these tear gas balls or pepper balls or even just the hard plastic kinetic rounds, these things hurt so insanely bad. And that's before they explode. The pepper balls then explode. It's this powder cloud. You know, you can shoot the ground in front of somebody. And when, it's not like you have to be majorly accurate. It is the defense weapon for women across the country and men. I keep one too. I keep lethal and less lethal on me at all times. And they're legal. The burn a pistol launcher is legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit or a background check. You just go to the freaking website. Order one. Christmas gifts for your loved ones, your mom who lives alone, your daughter you sent off to college, your dad who goes walking in the woods all the time. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse gets you 10% off. This is the gift of the Christmas season. Byrna.com/Jesse.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Dear Titan of Tiny Hands, I'm usually gone for work during the week, but when I am home, I tend to listen to your show on the iHeartRadio app on speaker. The other day, I was home unexpectedly, and my daughter comes up to me and says, "The Jesse Kelly Show, let's have some fun." I looked at the clock, and it was 4:58 p.m. I almost missed the best part of the day. I've never been so proud of one of my kids as I was then. Even my wife had to giggle. Keep doing what you're doing. Can I get a Howard Dean yell? His name is Justin. Of course you can. Oracle of Oracles, you are wired into more information than any of us out there. I was wondering, tell us your opinion. What's the worst anti-American politician? Thune, Cornyn, Lankford, Romney, Graham, someone else? Whose primary loss would resonate the loudest if he or she got canned? Well, now it would be Thune. And I'm not telling you that's a possibility because now that he's a Senate Majority Leader, he's probably going to have so much juice behind him, it'll be very difficult to take him out. Cornyn might be in trouble now because he lost that leadership race. Losing that leadership race might have cost him his Senate seat. If we can get one good candidate with some money, Cornyn might be in trouble. But the more powerful the scalp, the better it is for us. But you don't have to get overwhelmed and look at all the losers you just mentioned and think we have to take all them out in a primary. Ideally, we would take all them out, and we can try to take all them out, but you don't have to take them all out. They do the things they do because they believe none of them will ever be taken out. They think they are so secure in those seats that they are indestructible. Prove to them that they're not, and the others will start to fall in line. These people are losers, and they are followers. Excuse me. You're not a loser. I guess maybe you are as a chance, but you're not a loser. And it's time for me to go. I'll be back on Monday. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.